This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris joins me now. Chris, what is this festive holiday tune we're listening to?
That is Hostile Mass by the Hold Steady, in honor of the Grizzlies heading to Massachusetts, which is tending to be pretty hostile for the Grizzlies in recent years.
Yes, it has been. All right, Grizzlies triumph last night. Got a little taut and testy. Ja was tossed, among other things. Let's start with that. What did you make of Ja's ejection? We subsequently heard in the pool report that confirmed what anyone with eyeballs saw, that it should not have been called as a foul, but he reacted and was tossed. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the ideal situation there should have been that, like, that instead of reacting the way he did to the foul call, he should have turned to the bench and said, challenge that. They should have challenged it. And then you would have the call overturned, and you would still have Ja Morant. I think, obviously, it was a bad call. He was right to be frustrated by it. I think Ja was out of sorts from the beginning last night. I don't know. From a distance, it seemed like maybe he was sick. That's sort of what it looked like to me. I don't know whether that's true, but that's what it looked like. And so I just think he was out of sorts, and I think being out of sorts led him to get frustrated more than he would, you know, if he were playing well or feeling better. And so, like, you know, it was probably for the best, honestly, that he sort of sat down in that game and let them finish it without him. But obviously it was a bad call. It is sort of galling to have a player – even though he pointed and he, you know, said what he said or whatever, for a star player to get ejected arguing a call that what is indeed a bad call is like not a great look.
Right. No, in that way it's a bad look for the officials. You created this tantrum by this ridiculous call. I don't really understand why Taylor Jenkins didn't challenge it, but they could have.
Well, I mean, challenging it at that point would not have changed the ejection. You know?
No, before the ejection.
It still would have saved 2 points, maybe.
Yes.
But I think he ended up using the challenge later. And
the out-of-bounds, yeah.
Yep. Right. And so and he was probably so upset at that point, he was right. too busy yelling at the refs to think about challenging.
Ja was, he was 2 of 13. He was 0 of 6. He felt like he was settling a lot, honestly. So
yep.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was best for him to take a seat. You yesterday, I was listening as I drove into the St. Jude press conference, but in the previous day as well, said the jury's out on how Marcus Smart is going to fit here. I think Jeffrey asked you, he said, should he, you know, how do you feel about him? Do you want him to be part of the playoff rotation and prove his worth to the Grizzlies? And I think you said, well, it remains to be seen. Let's see how it goes between now and then. We had the
That's my attitude.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of people have already passed judgment, but I am withholding judgment on that.
Yes, yeah. Right. No, and it seemed to, that Dallas was one data point, but last night, just like the Detroit game, he was critical to the victory.
Yeah, and that was against a better team than Detroit. You know, it was a win they needed, and he still had some bad plays. He is the epitome of a trick-or-treat player. And we've been down this road before with the Grizzlies. Like Dylan Brooks was a trick-or-treat player. Tony Allen, who we remember fondly, was a trick-or-treat player. I think whether the tricks outweigh the treats or vice versa, to me, is sort of up in the air. It's up in the air for me. I think there are a lot of fans who have decided that the tricks outweigh the treats, and they may be right about that. That may be how I have ultimately come down. I don't know. But I think one thing that's happened with Marcus Smart is that for a lot of people, there's been sort of this snowball effect where it's not that they think the tricks outweigh the treats, it's that they focus on the tricks and ignore the treats.
Yep.
And like, there's a lot of good that he does, too.
I think it's possible that nothing enrages fans more than ill-advised threes or by a player who, like, you don't think should be shooting that three, right? Like, Jeff Green was guilty of that. Dylan Brooks guilty of, like, if you look at the the polarizing figures in Grizzlies history, they had a tendency to do that. And it makes it infuriates people as opposed to, you're right, like the good stuff he does. What, I don't know, what's going to go, I don't know, what's going to go into your decision? What do you think? I don't know. How do you size up Marcus Smart? Is it you just add him up at the end of the
night? I'd like to see him play 20 games with the Grizzlies in competitive games that matter, which we haven't done to this point.
Right.
He only played like 20 games total last season, and none of them really mattered, you know? Or in the end, none of them mattered. I mean, maybe in the middle. You know, like, going back to last season, like, in the middle of the season after Ja came back, and he was playing in a rotation with Ja and Desmond and Jared, it actually looked pretty good for those 9 games. And now he's back playing in a rotation with Ja and Desmond and Jaren. Different roles. He was starting last season. He's come off the bench now. And overall, it's looked pretty good. Now, it hasn't looked good all the time. The Dallas game was an abomination. But if you include that game, you look at, like, the Marcus Smart numbers since he's come back from the ankle injury, they're good. Like, his individual numbers are good. The team on-off, you know, impact stuff is good. Like, it's good. And I feel like, If they end up deciding they don't like the fit and they trade him, like, that's fine. But as long as he's on the team, like, he needs to be an important part of the team. Like, the idea of, like, you know, either you're trading him or he's an important part of the team. Like, to me, there's no, like, he's on the team and he's not an important part of the team.
So now he goes back to Boston. I guess,
a recipe for firing up some ill-advised shots.
I don't expect this to go well. I mean, partly because, as you point out, it hasn't gone well against the Celtics recently, period, for the Grizzlies. But, yes, he missed it last year. He was hurt on the return game. And I don't know. Like, we've made up that we feel like his heart's in Boston and whatever.
So. Well, you almost want to give his play in that game like a preemptive mulligan, like right. That aside. And for the team, that's one of the things that's good about pulling out. I mean, that was not a great performance by the Grizzlies last night, and it was sort of an ugly game. But you pulled out the win, and the great thing about pulling out that win is now you avoid a 3-game losing streak, because if you're going to lose that Boston, you'd already lost in Dallas, so at least you avoided that.
It was an interesting night because, like, two of the big criticisms are Marcus Smart and too much bench in critical minutes. And they win last night because of Marcus Smart and the bench in critical minutes.
I want to push back on that second part a little bit.
Yes.
So two things. One, like, the only real alter, the idea that Taylor Jenkins, like, you know, altered what he would normally do in a significant way to ride the bench, I think is not true. Mm-hmm. First of all, they've been finishing games with Marcus Smart and Santi Aldama off the bench, not with starter Shaylen Wells and Brandon Clark. So that's just what he's been doing.
Right.
they couldn't finish the game with John Morant because he got ejected.
He was gone, right.
Desmond Bane was in that lineup. So the only difference, was Huff for like 2 minutes longer than he would have otherwise before he brought Jaren back in. Right. Like an extra 2 minutes of Jay Huff was really the only difference in how he approached the end of the game. And so I think that's been overstated. But then the other part of it is, I think people have been critical of Jenkins and the minute stuff. It's not because they want Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bane to play 36 minutes every game. It's because they want the team to react to the flow of the game. And so, like, you're in a close game and those guys are playing well, you end up losing a close game, and, you know, you're mad about that. Last night, it was a reaction to the flow of the game.
Right.
I think what people want is to, like, set the script aside and react to the flow of the game.
That makes sense. Who else did you think? Obviously, Santi was good again. He has been good.
Yep.
You wrote in your mailbag, and I'd urge people to read the mailbag, terrifically entertaining mailbag that went up yesterday or the day before, I think. You wrote about Desmond Bane, and I think someone asked, what's going on with Desmond Bane? Is he injured? And before last night, the numbers that you assembled pre-injury and then post-return are pretty compelling that he is not himself since his return, right? And then but last night was good.
Yeah, but it was good to a certain extent, right? I don't think he's had a 20-point game since he's come back from the injury. Maybe I'm forgetting one, but I don't think he has. He certainly hasn't gone for like 25 or any of these. I think he has been pretty good the last two games, but he has not shown the capacity. And I feel this feels real deja vu to me. And the guy who asked the question asked about when he was playing through that toe injury. And I remember writing the same kind of stuff then, and it was, you know, Bane's been pretty good, but he just never. If you look before that injury, he was scoring like 25 points like every other game. And then after that, he never did. And I think we're seeing the same kind of like scoring capacity ceiling on him right now that we did when he was playing through that toe injury. And I just have to think that, like, he's healthy enough in the sense that he's not making it worse by playing, but I just don't believe that the injury is having no impact on his play.
He was a stabilizer last night. He wasn't a dynamic flamethrower last night, as he can sometimes
be. Right.
And as you point out, the pre-injury, it was 19 points a game on 49% from the field, 41% from three, 92% from the line. Since the injury, excluding last night, because these numbers were before last night, 12 points a game, 39% from the field, 26% from three, 70% from the line. So, that's...
It's all shooting-related. The rebounding and assist stuff is there. It's the shooting stuff that's all different. And again, I'm playing amateur doctor here, but when you think about an oblique strain, which is like your sides, right, your abdomen, and you think about the shooting motion and what you do physically with a shooting motion, I'm connecting dots on that.
Let's see. A lot of other stuff to get to. We did have more. I guess yesterday you might have talked about the Gigi injury stuff. Where are we again? Let's go through them. It doesn't feel like any reinforcements are imminent after what we heard yesterday about Zach Edey, Vince Williams. We really haven't heard anything. And then Gigi was it 6 to 8 weeks? Was that the news yesterday? I mean,
you'd have to go back and try to remember the date of the news, right? And so with Vince Williams, that's further back. But Gigi Jackson was a expected return to play. So it was not a reevaluation. It was a return to play, and the return to play was 6 to 8 weeks. So that would take you into, like, you know, mid to late January, I guess. The Zach Edey thing was, you know, that he was expected to play, like, you know, here in the next few games, and now they've looked at it and they think it needs more time. So now they're pushing that back a couple weeks, but it still sounds like, you know, he'll be back before Christmas is what it sounds like, but we'll see. And the Vince Williams thing was, from the jump, I want to say was a reevaluated in a month. That injury happened, what, a week or two ago? And so it wasn't return to play, it was reevaluation, and then we'll go from there. And so it doesn't sound like he'll play this month, like maybe next month sometime.
Yeah. Nothing seems imminent. Okay. I don't know if anything else strike you from last night before I ask you a little more about your mailbag?
You know, I thought Jay Huff had a good game, and one that they really needed. I was really worried, like, DeMontis Sabonis was going to go off. He averaged 22 rebounds a game against the Grizzlies in three games last season when they didn't have a real center. Then last night with Edie out, I was really worried he was going to go nuts. I think Jay Haas gave them really good minutes in the second half last night.
All right. Couple things. One is someone asked about in the mailbag, again, people can read it over the Daily Memphian, about your playoff rotation, your base playoff rotation. And it is interesting that among those who are not in the base playoff rotation, and I guess this speaks to their depth, Scottie Pippen Jr., Zach Edey, Jake LaRavia, and Luke Kennard, not in the base playoff rotation.
The base was like eight guys. The question was, what's your eight or nine man playoff rotation? So I did eight. That to me are like, no matter what. The reality is you're probably playing more than that. You're probably playing nine. But right. To me, Pippen and Edey were both like, what's the matchup?
And
like,
those,
do you need a big center? Do you not need a big center? Do you feel like you need more ball handling? Do you not need more ball handling? Yeah.
The eight, just to be clear here, are Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Vince Williams Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Marcus Smart, Jalen Wells, and Santi Aldama. That's your base. Kind of amazing, not surprising at this point, but really a remarkable story that Jalen Wells, second-round pick, is in your base playoff, assumed to be in. Of course he should be. You just look at the deployment right now and how well he's played, but is in the base playoff rotation. Then matchup-dependent, Scottie Pippen Jr. and Zach Edey. Next men up, Jake LaRavia and Luke Kennard.
Yeah, and you could really argue for LaRavia. You could argue for LaRavia over Wells, frankly, based on how they played. I just think there is something to the fact that, like, the Grizzlies are on the ground floor with Jalen Wells, and, like, who knows if Jake LaRavia will be back next season. Like, I did factor that in a little bit. And I just think, and this is where I had another question elsewhere in the mailbag about, like, is there room for Vince Williams Jr. and Marcus Smart in the same rotation? And the point I made was that the thing that you really need a lot of in the playoffs these days is perimeter defense. And so I think, you know, Vince Williams Jr., Marcus Smart, and Jalen Wells with the way he's defended, like, there's just plenty of room for, like, wing guys who play defense. Like, lots of room for that, you know? And so, like, it's more likely that a small guard like Scottie Pippen or a true center like Zach Edey gets squeezed in a playoff series than guys who can guard multiple positions.
It's just kind of remarkable that Luke Kennard has filtered down to next. I mean, in the Lakers series, the Luke Kennard injury was a devastating blow. And now, is that a function of their increased depth and wing versatility, or also is it a function of what they've gotten from Luke Kennard or some of column A, some of column B?
Well, I'm sorry, and what they got from Jalen Wells, who has given you the shooting, at least a degree of that shooting with much better defense. I'll be interested to see what happens with Kennard going forward, like in the regular season. He only played 6 minutes against Dallas. And I don't know whether he was already under the weather at that point, or that was just like, that's where the squeeze happens. Because, like, Jalen Wells and Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia are all playing better, and something's got to give. And if Kennard is really only helping you one end of the floor, and he's not, like, overwhelming, but, you know, with his shooting, it's not going to surprise me if he gets the squeeze out of this.
Okay, and then finally, did you do a film piece on what's happening in film around Memphis this week? Did I miss it? Did you do it?
I did.
Okay, what's happening? What's happening in film around Memphis this week?
When was opening? The Order is opening. There's something else that was opening. Oh, Flow. So there's not a lot of big releases this week because Moana 2 and Gladiator 2 and Wicked are still dominating the box office, which have already been out. So a couple of smaller movies that are opening that I think are both good. This movie called Flow, which is an animated movie, but it's not like a kid's animated movie. It just won Best Animated Feature from the New York Film Critics Circle, actually. It's opening exclusively at Studio on the Square, and it is about, the protagonist is a house cat, but it's all these other animals, and they're dealing with, like, basically a biblical-style flood. And it's not like a talking animal movie. Like, it's animals acting like real animals, and so it's sort of dialogue-free, but it's very good. And then there's this action movie called The Order that's opening. That's more of an old-fashioned throwback, like, cops and criminals procedural movie, but, like, a really well-done one. Chief Law is an FBI agent tracking a white nationalist group in Washington State. It's actually based on a true story. You probably remember this, but in the early 80s, there was this Denver radio disc jockey. They got assassinated by a white nationalist group, and it's about that group, the FBI agent tracking that group.
All right, and then finally, you did supply a core four of Christmas movies. Tis the season. What are your core four Christmas movies?
So I went, like, too old as I define old and too new as I define new, which to me, like, the early 70s are my demarcation point for that. Meeting in St. Louis, one of my favorite movies, period, like a top 10 movie for me. And It's a Wonderful Life, which I love. And then on the newer side, I went with Elf and Gremlins.
So I've never seen Gremlins, and I'll ask the cliche obvious question. Is Gremlins a Christmas movie?
The Gremlins himself are a Christmas present. That is how the movie starts. It's like the dude is buying a Christmas present to bring home, and he buys this cute little creature and brings it home and gives his son the instructions of what not to do, and then he does the things you don't do, and that's how the Gremlins happen. There's also the Phoebe Cates given the monologue about what about the worst Christmas ever that happened to her as a kid. And then the whole thing is set, you know, with the snowy Christmas season in this, like, New England town.
Okay. So, Christmas movie. You do mention Bad Santa and Tangerine as also possibilities in the honorable mention of the curveball Christmas movies. Explain those two.
Bad Santa, Billy Bob Thornton, and that's about, he's a department store Santa who's also a criminal, and is just a really, like, bad dude who does all kinds of destructible, horrible things. It's a comedy.
Uh-huh.
And then Tangerine, which is, you know, not for all tastes, but it's, like, I think a truly great movie. It's actually directed by Sean Baker, the guy who did Anora this year. It was shot on iPhones, and it's about two transgender prostitutes and best friends on the streets of Hollywood on Christmas Eve.
And then finally, what is the Bass TV version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? What does that mean?
Rankin and Bass. May not know their names. You know,
I
that
see.
Stuff.
Oh, that's Rankin, like, and Bass. Which, like, one is
the,
that?
Yeah, like the classic TV Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's like the little puppets, you know, looking thing.
Yeah, it's the classic one with Rudolph and the. Cornelius, Yukon Cornelius, that guy?
I don't remember that. But it's like the puppet style animation. Okay. That is sort of that, right, almost the toy box looking animation.
You can read Chris's mailbag over at the Daily Memphian. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Jeffrey, do you have thoughts on those Christmas movies? Core four Christmas movies. His were Meet Me in St. Louis, which I've never seen. It's a Wonderful Life, which I did not, like, grow up seeing that as a tradition in my home.
Yep.
I have since seen it and liked it, enjoyed it, and I understand it's a great tradition for people. I can see love in that, although it's not something I watch every year. Elf, loved Elf, thought Elf was charming as hell, loved Elf. Again, not something I watch every year, and I've never seen Gremlins.
So, I mean, I'm going to defer to Chris. I mean, all those are what I would consider probably classics.
Have you seen them all?
I have seen them all. I like them all. But my favorite Christmas movie is The Muppets Christmas Carol.
The Muppets
it's
Christmas
fantastic.
Carol.
You have Michael Caine acting against the Muppets, and he's treating it like it's like a West End London version of A Christmas Carol, and it is phenomenal.
Sneaky good Christmas movie is the Bill Murray Scrooge.
I do like Scrooge a lot.
I dude. Like Scrooge. Yep. And why would I think I, but I did. I just watched it on TV someday. Sneaky good.
It'll come on AMC usually has it all, but Scrooge is very good. I agree.
Yeah, Scrooge is good. All right, Jeffrey has some presents for y'all coming up next as he takes you through on every game this weekend. Is going to be telling you where to put your money. Once you win your money, I'd suggest you send it to Leaders Credit Union, where they will keep it. They'll invest it. You can have a checking account. You can have all kinds of savings accounts. They do. It's funny. It's interesting. Claire, she's from Clarksville. She's from Detroit. She came down to Clarksville to play basketball for Austin Peay and stayed. And
finally sold her house in Clarksville. I guess, you know, the truth of the matter is she's needed a backup plan for a while here, you know, like an escape route. And she finally has enough faith in me. That's not true. That she's sold her house in Clarksville. So the money was sent to the account in Leaders Credit Union. And we had a couple questions, whatever, and called this morning. And it's so nice to call someone and
talk to a person,
talk to a human being. And it honestly, like, they seemed like they were in Tennessee, you know, like it was.
You didn't feel like you were calling a call bank.
If you just by the accent, it seemed like it was someone in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was someone who worked for Leaders Credit Union. You know, it was one of their people. Our experience has just been really good with Leaders Credit Union. If you are looking for a new mortgage or a new home loan or you're fed up with your bank, whatever it is, give them a try. Because it's a credit union, all the money they generate goes right back in. There's no stockholders who need dividends or anything else. There's no none of that. You don't have to jack up the stock price every quarter by increasing your profits, by squeezing your customers. No. Every penny goes right back in for better service, better technology, and better rates. It's Leaders Credit Union. LeadersCU.com/ESPN for more information. We got football when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Holiday time's a great time to be getting engaged. We're all feeling pretty nostalgic and sentimental. It's about family and love and all that stuff. And so if you're taking the step this holiday season, I would urge you to head on in to Robert Irwin Jewelers and talk to the fine people. They've got locations across the city. The one I go to is across from Novel on Perkins Extended. Find the one closest to you, rijewelers.com. But what you'll discover is if you can dream it, if you have an idea or have a photo, they can make it happen. That's what they did for Jeffrey. It's what they did for Connor right here at 92.9. Because what you want is you want bigger, brighter diamonds. You want lower prices, and you want somebody who can create the diamond ring of her dreams. And that's what they do and have been doing in Memphis now for 46 years, the folks at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And you have the comfort of knowing they got the meant-to-be guarantee, which means if for any reason you're not happy with the ring or want to return it for 365 days, you can, no questions asked. It's just honestly a measure of how confident that they are that you will love that stunning engagement ring. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, rijewelers.com. I halted a little bit there because as I was getting carried away with romance and Robert Irwin Jewelers and just thinking about someone who's going to be deliriously happy with a diamond ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, you handed me a card of football games. And you've also given me the good news that we're not done yet. We're going to continue to pick the playoffs.
Yeah, and Jeff, we might even throw some bowl games in there
We're still digging out. Like
no, we're not digging out
north.
Of the hole. It's just, you know, Jeff, money and investing is an ongoing process.
It is. Money never sleeps. What do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's start off in Jacksonville, Alabama. The CUSA Conference Championship game. Jeff, we've got the rare matchup of two teams that just played last week.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville State lost at Western Kentucky. They're currently laying 4 points. I've got a principal play, Jeff.
What's the principle?
I always take the home team in the CUSA Championship game. Home team, I believe, is 15-4. Give me Jacksonville State. I'll lay the four.
Lay the four. Now, Jack State, of course. I covered a lot of Jack State back in the day when I started in Anniston, Alabama. And Jack Crow. Was Jack Crow there when I was there?
I know he was there when they beat Ole Miss.
I don't think I was there then. Anyway, Jacksonville State -4 over Western
and
Kentucky.
No, we are not concerned that Rich Rod is still trying to get his old job back in West Virginia. In fact, we view that as an opportunity, Jeff. Run it up!
Do you like the Rich Rod? Rich Rod, of course, is
Jeff,
the coach.
It's the
of
era
Jack
of nostalgia.
State.
Don't we just want to go back to when things were fun?
Yeah, You think Rich Rod to West Virginia?
I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
All right, next.
I wouldn't hate it. Jeff, I know we're not supposed to be prisoners of the moment. And I also know that John Sumrall is 3-0 playing the service academies, having given up a grand total of 19 points.
Mm, that's impressive.
But you know what I could not get out of my mind?
No, what? I don't
Jeff,
know.
Jeff, last Thursday night, Tulane looked cold. They looked very, very cold.
You think they're soft? You think they're like the Dolphins?
I think they're like me. And you know what? We're miserable when it's cold. And you know what I don't really want to do? Tackle the option when it's cold.
Really?
The high tonight is 27 degrees in West Point, New York.
Historic.
Give me the 5 points. Give me Army.
Army. USA. 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 Army. Plus five? Minus
plus five?
Plus five. Plus five. Army plus five. Over Tulane. Next.
Jeff, you might be sensing a theme for all three of tonight's games.
Weather. Weather?
UNLV.
Yeah.
You think Vegas boys who play in a dome,
no,
you think they
want
to go to
no,
Boise
no,
and play
no,
on the cold
no,
blue
no,
turf?
No,
absolutely
no.
not. We saw this game earlier. UNLV has literally never beaten Boise State. Give me the Broncos. I'll lay the 4.5.
I do think, like, if you watch that Bills game, the 49ers at one point wanted to get on the freaking plane. They did. They just wanted to get on the plane. And it's not like the Bills practice in the snow. It's funny that they're so much we're so much better at it than the Niners. The Niners just wanted to get the hell out of there.
They wanted to be home.
Absolutely. Boise State minus 4.5 over UNLV. Next.
Jeff, I can't believe I'm doing this. Arizona State's been very good to me.
I know. You're a big fan.
I just am. I'm operating under the principle nobody in the Big 12 should be favored. Give me Iowa State. Give me the 1.5.
For a measly 1.5, you're doing this?
No one should be favored. Also, if you want some football, Arizona State lost their best receiver, so now they're going to be even more one-dimensional with Scatterbro. They literally do not have a pass catcher that has caught more than 17 balls that are available tomorrow.
Iowa State plus 1.5 over Arizona State.
Jeff, Next. We have a principal play. It's the MAC championship game. No one should be favored.
Explain to me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Miami of Ohio.
Yes.
Versus Ohio.
Yes.
What do we know about these universities? Are they different? Are they alike? How is Miami of Ohio?
So my understanding is Miami of Ohio is a tremendous party school.
Is it giant? Is it big?
I think it's fairly big.
Which is the bigger school?
I would think Ohio.
Ohio University?
Correct. I do know that
I don't know my Ohio's,
Miami,
turns out.
Shout out to Jonathan Large, teacher over at MUS. Miami of Ohio, one of the five schools, I believe, that has not only a Super Bowl champion quarterback, but also a president.
Miami of Ohio has mm-hmm. a president?
Was it Coolidge, maybe?
You don't know who the president is. Miami of Ohio. 4-year research, 4-year public research institution. Students, 16,000 undergrads. So it's not that big. It's 4,000 a class, right? It's about the same size as Duke, honestly, right?
And
it's
Miami of Ohio is 19.
I was just looking at Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, 19,000 undergrads. Right.
That is Miami.
16,000 undergrads.
Right, what's the other one? Ohio University. Now look up Ohio University. Miami of Ohio is 16,000 undergrads. It's 4,000 a class. It's about the same size
as
Duke or Northwestern.
It's almost the exact same. It's 18,502 students on campus, but 14,000 undergrads in Athens, Ohio. So
they're very
Miami,
similar.
Yeah.
They're about the same size place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm sorry. I lost track of the football game. Who are you picking?
I'm picking these two teams that played earlier this year.
Yeah.
Underdogs in the MAC championship game, 18-6. Give me the dog. I'll take Ohio.
Ohio U plus the 2 points. All right, here we are. The rematch.
Benjamin Harrison was the president, by the way.
Benjamin Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Of course, who could forget?
Didn't he die quickly? Like, didn't he? Like, I don't think he
no,
lasted
that's,
long.
That's McKinley,
William
right?
Henry Harrison? Oh, McKinley certainly died. He was shot in Buffalo. Benjamin Harrison.
I thought he lasted a while.
Benjamin Harrison.
Yeah, he made it through the presidency.
Did he? 23rd president, mm-hmm. served from 89 to 93. Maybe it's William Henry Harrison?
That sounds right.
He died? Let me just check this out real quick.
Pretty certain you're right.
I think he's the one who got a cold during an inauguration day
Yeah, isn't he the one that led to John Tyler? Yeah. Yeah, William Henry Harrison leads to John Tyler.
Yeah, before he'd been in office a month, he caught a cold. It goes with our theme.
Correct.
Right? Got pneumonia.
Yes.
Because he was out there. It's like basically, mm-hmm. might as well have gone to Tulane, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Next.
We are taking Ohio there. Give me the Bobcats. I'll take 2 points.
Ohio U.
Jeff, SEC championship game rematches. You might think, man, the SEC, another crack at them. They'll probably get them this time, right? Texas is going to get Georgia this time.
Texas
Georgia
playing awful,
went eight overtimes
well.
Against...
It's a fierce defense.
No,
and you
absolutely
never know what you're
going to
get with Georgia.
Quinn Ewers looked scared when playing Georgia. He's going to look scared again. Give me the Dogs. Give me the 3 points. SEC championship rematches the previous winners 5-2.
Wow, Georgia plus +3. You get Georgia as an underdog.
Yeah.
It's tasty.
Uh-huh.
Georgia plus +3. Over Texas. Next.
Jeff, let's go to the Sun Belt Championship game. It's just our classic. Whoever the home team is, give me the home team. UL Lafayette. You're not the University of Louisiana. You're Louisiana Lafayette. Give me Lafayette. I'll lay the 5 against Marshall.
Louisiana Lafayette minus -5 over Marshall. This is the big one. This is the one that everyone's going to be looking at. This is the one that the college football powers, they definitely need SMU to win.
Jeff, you know how they tell kids that you just can't ignore your problems and hope that they go away?
Uh-huh.
You know what the committee's doing?
Yeah.
Trying to ignore their problems and hope they go
away.
And hope that SMU just wins and they don't have to do
it. Plug in Alabama.
Based
on what? They don't want to be faced with SMU versus Alabama.
They don't want to have to face the issue.
No, they do not.
And guess what? They're going to have to face the issue. Give me Clemson 2.5.
You don't get to just... ignore
Amen.
Your problems. They
I
always
they
come back
away.
To bite you in the ass later. So you're taking Clemson plus +2.5. All right, next.
Jeff, we all know the statistics. James Franklin, 1-13 against top 5 opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, only once has that opponent not been Michigan or Ohio State. And they were headed to winning that game against Iowa. Until their quarterback got hurt. Dan Lanning is one of the most overrated big game coaches in the history of the planet. Do you know how many times away from home he's won as an underdog?
Don't know, no.
The answer's 0.
Wow.
And I know he's favored here. I don't even care. My point is that when he's in a big game, whether it be the Washington games, whether it was the Oregon State game a couple of years ago, wildly overrated. I don't care that Penn State... As the James Franklin, like, there's the question of, like, who's going to be, like, James Franklin is Ryan Day's only big wins. I don't really care.
Likes
Give me
Penn
the 3.5.
All right. So, to review, ladies and gentlemen, Jacksonville State minus -4 over Western Kentucky. Army plus +5 over Tulane. Boise State minus -4.5 over UNLV. Iowa State plus +1.5 over Arizona State. Ohio U plus +2 over Miami of Ohio. Georgia plus +3 over Texas. UL Lafayette, Louisiana Lafayette minus -5 over Marshall. Clemson plus +2.5 over SMU. And Penn State plus +3.5 over Oregon. Did you see? This was 2 days ago, so it may have changed. But
okay. The
get-in price for the Penn State Oregon game, the Big Ten championship, was $12.
It just means more.
And it's because it makes all the sense in the world. If you're Oregon, you're going to the playoff. Both these teams are going to the playoff.
Well,
right?
And Penn State didn't literally expect to be there.
And Penn State didn't expect to be there. They're both, you know, relatively far. Oregon's quite far.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, $12. $12.
It just means more.
As a couple days ago, to get into the... to get into the Big Ten championship game. I did want
plenty of good sections still available.
Plenty of good sections still available. While we're on the topic of the SEC, I did want to pass along the bad news. I should have gotten to it yesterday, but I mentioned earlier that Bob Holt, who is the longtime Arkansas beat writer, was in a bad way. he had been covering the Arkansas-Missouri game and collapsed afterward. And he subsequently did pass away. So he was truly an institution in the state of Arkansas, known for his thoroughness, his fairness, his absolute relentless work ethic, and just a good dude. Bob Holt will be remembered for a long time in the state of Arkansas. We're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Are you on TikTok, Jeffrey?
I'm not.
So the Court of Appeals today, U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, that's where I once upon a time clerked back when I was a pretend lawyer, and they upheld a law that is going to ban TikTok in the U.S. By January 19th if the Chinese company doesn't, if ByteDance doesn't sell it, okay? So they upheld the law. So right now we are on track for on January 19th for TikTok to be banned in the United States. It's a law that was passed by Congress that was signed, and a three-judge panel unanimously decided that the law does not infringe on the First Amendment, okay? So by January 19th, you could possibly, not you, not me, neither of us are on TikTok.
Nope.
But folks, could TikTok could just go away. Now, you know what's going to happen?
There'll be another one.
It's going to be appealed. No, it's going to be appealed to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, is my prediction, will freeze the law. And then the whole thing will fall in the lap of the Trump administration, which has, Trump is now, he used to be anti-TikTok, and now he's pro-TikTok. But this is a real threat that someday, for good or ill, I don't have a strong opinion on it, TikTok could go away. And that sort of happened today during the course of the show. Also today during the course of the show, I presume that Bill Belichick is pondering whether to pursue the North Carolina job. What did you make of that story?
I will be stunned if Bill Belichick is the next head coach of North Carolina.
Stunned.
I was curious why it got out.
Well, so, and the theory is, by the way, of course, Steve is the defensive coordinator at Washington. So the story is, well, he's seen how college sports works. He really likes it. He's been intrigued. Steve Belichick has enjoyed his time in Washington. So maybe it just doesn't make sense to me at all, because in the end, you know, Bill Belichick wants to coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's going to be jobs.
He wants to beat Don Shula's record and whatever else. You imagine that he might, I suppose, if he didn't get a job, settle for a college job. But the North Carolina job has to be filled before any of this, the NFL jobs will be filled. So it doesn't, the timing just doesn't. I could imagine that if he goes through another offseason where he doesn't get a pro job, that he actually says, I'll take this North Carolina job. Otherwise, I couldn't imagine it.
I was just more curious, like, okay, who benefits from this getting out?
That's another interesting question. Does North Carolina benefit? Does Belichick benefit?
I mean, I guess maybe if, like, you're trying to, like, prove to some, like, hey, we're thinking big name, but it's like, I don't know. Who does that impress?
We got three local teams going for state championships: Houston, Mace, and Melrose. Good luck to all of them. Mace is tonight. It's going to be chilly.
Yeah.
Melrose and Houston tomorrow. Should warm up a little bit for the marathon tomorrow. I was told it's going to be perfect marathon weather.
It's great you want to hear.
So in the 50s or something, low 50s, and that's
anything's better.
If you're running a million miles, you don't want it to be 95 degrees out. You want it to be a little chill in the air. So be patient and supportive with all the marathoners in town. A truly great event. We got Memphis basketball this weekend as well. So a lot to talk about on Monday, plus the Grizzlies, of course, are in Boston. Before any of that, I will remind you that over at FanDuel, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. And over at FanDuel, you can just go to the app, and you can, once you're on the app, they got the latest stats, they got the live play-by-play. So if you want to bet live bets on the games in progress, you can do that. Check it out. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. to join today. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Stay warm, everyone. And, hey, go support a local restaurant. Go support a local restaurant this weekend. Tell them I sent you. We'll talk to you Monday for Now Our Work is Done.